Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with
Gregory Perry
and
Su Jin Song.
And they are starring in the new show Smart People at Arena Stage from April 14th through May 21st. Thanks so much for joining us, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Now, this is an interesting concept. We have four different people. Actually, they're four different smart people that are used to explore much larger themes in life. But why don't you, one of you guys, tell us exactly what it's about here?
Sure. We have four different intellectuals from different walks of life, so to speak, that basically all are coming together and having very, very heated discussions, albeit funny, but very dramatic and intense, about mostly about cultural bias and racism. And it's all stirred together in this wonderful play.
Yeah. Awesome. And Su Jin, who are the four people?
So I play Jenny. So I'm a Harvard professor psychologist. And Greg is Brian. He's a Harvard professor neuropsychologist.
Neuroscientist, yes. I started in neuropsychology, though.
Oh, that's though. Right. That's
Thank
right.
You.
Now you're a neuropsychologist.
Thank you.
Sorry. Well, you migrated just through so many.
Don't his coursework.
I migrated through many, many different subjects, okay?
That's
I
went. Right. So he's a hard scientist.
Very smart. Very, very
smart. Dissertation.
Super smart.
Not as smart as me, but
super smart people in this show.
Yes, everyone thinks they are the smartest person in the room. And then And then Jason, he plays a doctor who graduated from Harvard, working to become a surgeon. And then we have Lorene, who plays an actress from Harvard. But she's also super smart, so it's really fun to see these different people from these different walks of life debating and jousting with each other.
So if they're all from Harvard, is the notion that they all know each other from those days? Like, did they go to school together? Or does that not really factor
into that? No, we all do end up meeting together, and okay. I think Harvard and Boston is definitely there as a setting and a background. I mean, the two of us meet at a conference.
Yeah.
At Harvard.
Yeah, it's all related through Harvard, but they don't know each other from school. The only two characters, my character Brian and Jason's character Jackson, they're the only two people that know each other before the play begins.
Oh, okay.
And then interesting things happen that I don't want to say, but right. Everything comes together in a way. But they're the only two that actually have a relationship, but it's not from being in school together or anything.
I see. But it's right. Not all four of you in a room. It's kind of parallel action for a while, and then they merge.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Gotcha. And when we do all come together, it's really fun.
Yeah.
But it is fun to see the different people meeting with each other and the different relationships they have with one another and the, and the dating and the sexual tension between the different people. It's really fun.
A lot of the fun of the play, too, is that you get to see these people and their individual relationships with other characters who have relationships with other characters. They just don't know that those people know the other people until they all come together. So you're watching people, I suppose you're watching people with other people, and then their personality changes or what's different about their different interactions with each other when they're together.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. And then we also have a lot of scenes with people outside of the cast. So, for instance, I have a patient named Akiko that I have a lot of interactions with. So Lydia does a lot of great things with, like, sort of split screen sort of ideas, but it's on stage, so people, there'll be multiple scenes happening, and sometimes the characters are actually talking to other characters off.
This is Lydia Diamond,
yes,
the creator.
Yes, Lydia Diamond, a very smart playwright.
Very, very smart playwright.
But yeah, I mean, the play, it's very dense, and it's very fast. And there are multiple things happening at once, so it really keeps the audience on their toes.
Mm-hmm. Explain, you sort of mentioned it briefly, but go into Lydia Diamond, and sort of, you said there's a lot of, you said split screens and stuff? Visually, what are we going to see there?
The set design is really cool. So there's a huge, like, scaffold, so you can see people in their individual, like, spaces. Yeah. We're going to have a lot of video projections and things, and then, so you got people in the separate areas, so you can have multiple places happening at the same time, but then also the set is flexible enough where it can suddenly change and then we're all together or something like that. It's really, really flexible, and I mean, I haven't seen it. I've only seen design.
Right. Yeah,
of course. It hasn't started yet, folks.
Yes. But it's
what does
really
it look
cool.
like in your mind?
In my mind, it's so awesome.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I think it there's a balance between, at least in our wonderful director, Sima Sueko, our production.
Another very smart person.
I think there's very theatrical aspects to the script in the sense that we're all on the stage at the same time, occupying different areas. And then there's actual realistic, we're in one dinner scene, right, together. So it goes between these two concepts, you know, like perfect realism and then some sort of, you know, imaginative situation, you know?
In those more imaginative situations, is it one of those things where the audience is like, you know, gets to scan the, like, if you could follow different things going on like a Rear Window or a, something like that.
I think that it's designed, I think, to be very engaging for the audience on multiple levels. So, I mean, the dialogue is really dense, so there's a lot to listen to and process, but visually, I think it's going to be really interesting. And also orally, and the sound design has already been there with us in the rehearsal rooms. Yeah. There's been a lot of discussions with the designers to make this a really full, full sensory experience for the audience.
Absolutely. Additionally, there's also, Brian gives a lot of lectures. He's a professor. I'm giving lectures throughout the play. I'm making points and I'm knocking the microphone. So
if
there are a lot
that of tapping. Those were points.
Those were points. And that's going to be in the play as well. No. And there's a lot of slides and projections, things that would be used in a literal class. And so it's amazing. I haven't seen it exactly yet.
Right.
But ideally, there's going to be these wonderful things that are happening behind you while you're listening to the information. So it's pretty interesting.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And even the script, I mean, Lydia will have things written in about some of the slides that she would like seen. So, and just some of her descriptions and just in the script is really fun and full. And I think the designers are having fun sort of interpreting that.
Right.
Yeah.
How long ago did she write it?
Gosh, I did a reading
of it. Like, this isn't the first
stage
version of this.
No, I know it premiered in Boston in 2014, but I don't know. You said you did do a reading of it.
Yeah, I did do a reading of it in Baltimore, but they did a production of it in Boston and then in New York. But this is our DC premiere. And I think it's going to be really great to have a DC audience see it because it is very political.
Yeah.
You know, it's set in the time of Obama's inauguration and now post-Trump inauguration. I just think...
Oh, it spans that whole period?
Well, no, it's set in the Obama... But the play ends with Obama inauguration.
And now
we are premiering this play so soon after Trump's inauguration.
Let's go into some of the political stuff because, I mean, we talked a lot about, you know, visually what we might expect. Yeah. But let's talk about the real meat in this sucker, which is the social commentary. Like, so what's sort of the idea of bringing these four different people from four different walks of life? All smart, but different walks of life and watching just how they interact. Like, what sort of issues do we actually explore here? I know it's mostly race, right?
There is. I mean, Brian comes up with this study that I think really rocks the world, which is that racism could actually be ingrained in us. It's like nature versus nurture.
Yeah, programmed in your brain.
Like that's, it's taught. Like we're, none of us are born.
Exactly.
Not that it's taught.
No,
that
not
it's
that
inherent.
It's taught.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
But it comes, it's fascinating. He wants to prove.
So it's like hereditary.
Yes. And as a liberal person, Brian wants to prove this because he thinks that liberals are so hypocritical in saying they're not racist, that he wants to prove this so that there could be a change, that people have to accept it. However, I won't say exactly how, but most people don't take it as that's what he's trying to do, obviously. So it's a pretty taboo study. And then the play then kind of goes off of that a little bit.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's set during the time of Obama's, you know, even his nomination. Like, I remember when he was nominated, I didn't even think that was possible, know? So so I think the sort of excitement that was happening in the country at that time, like, wow, are we a post-racial country?
Right.
Like, have we
politically, we're ready for this.
Yes, we're ready for this.
We're ready to talk about this.
We've outgrown racism. We're beyond that.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have the actress who canvasses for Obama, you know, when she's not rehearsing and performing. So there's all this talk about race and where we are as a country and as a people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very hopeful time for some of the cast members, but then for some people it's a questioning time, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you said the actress character is you know, canvassing for for Obama.
Mm-hmm.
You said your character is doing a study on whether racism is hereditary. What about the other two characters? How does race sort of factor into their lives?
Well, it's interesting because Brian and Jenny are two characters. We have a discussion about that. Like, so Brian, you know, he's all about let's take on the system. Let's talk about this, right?
Yeah.
Race is the problem. And as Jenny, I'm like, you know what? Racism is a problem, but let's think more about how are we going to navigate the system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of my sessions with my clients is trying to give them tools to navigate this system.
And Brian likes that pushback and thinks it's pretty hot.
Yeah, well, he thinks anything's hot when it comes to Jenny.
So this was more of the what you mentioned earlier, yeah, sort of the flirtiness that goes on.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, yeah. No, Lydia brings
between
a lot,
between all four.
All four.
Between all
yeah.
four.
Yeah. So it's not just people just sitting there and talking about race, which can
feel it's very human.
Dry.
Right.
It's
yeah.
Very, very funny. Very, very sexy. So she brings a lot of layers to the play.
And Jackson, who's a character, the actual surgeon, is literally you know, a younger African American doctor who's in it. He has his own clinic. He's working in an emergency room, and he has to deal with the things that Brian's talking about. So it creates an interesting friction between them and their friends.
Interesting.
So. Yeah. Oh. But it's interesting because even with Valerie, the actress, you know, who canvasses for Obama, you know, she says to you, she's like, you said you were going to canvass with me. And at yeah. one point, so you, at one point you thought, yeah,
yeah,
he could be elected. And then later on, because of all you're going through, you're like, there's no way he'll be
completely
elected.
Cynical about it.
Yes. So, yeah. So just how our own life experiences will color our perception of politics.
For sure. And you said it ends with, spoiler alert, with him getting
yes.
elected. But that's
yes.
where,
yes,
we
yes.
know that happened.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
where
yes,
does
yes.
it, that's where the play comes to?
It does. And then it's okay. interesting to see what Seema's done with the epilogue and the characters' reactions to that.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting.
So you'll get to see, you'll get an idea of where all four of those characters are when that inauguration is happening.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
It is
all right,
very
cool.
interesting.
Tell me about your two co-stars that play the other two. You said her name's Valerie?
Yes, they're awesome. I have to say, this
yeah.
cast has fallen in love with one another.
Yeah, they're pretty. Yeah, it's a fantastic group.
Yeah, we hang out together quite often outside.
Which is a huge credit to Seema as well, our director.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's Seema's strength as a director?
You know, I think she's really great at listening and asking questions. Mm-hmm. I think that's her greatest strength.
Yeah, absolutely. She creates like a really fantastic dialogue. So you never feel, you feel like it's collaborative from the start to the finish. But you know, and I mean, for me as an actor, it's great. I know she has she's strongly connected to the piece and has really thought out ideas, but there's nothing that's being pushed on you. It's more of a conversation as to how you feel, and it's great.
Yeah. And she comes in totally prepared. She's personally invested in it as a person, but then also she's done all this research. So she's been talking with psychologists
yes.
and neuroscientists
oh,
and academics. And
oh, yeah.
She enrolled
yes.
at Harvard. She
yeah.
didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, Lydia actually wrote this while she was at Harvard.
Oh, that's great. Well,
yes,
there's
yes,
the connection.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I think Lydia at the time had a grant or something, but she was at Harvard writing
yeah.
this.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the other cool thing about the play, because you have it's an awesome comedy, you know, with drama inside of it, and sexy, and it's interesting. But additionally, for someone like me, I'm not a neuroscientist, so I was given Paul Adolphson, who's our great
yeah.
dramaturg, and Seema. I have all this great information where I had to get taught, you know, how exactly do I make a stereotype content model? How would I
right.
put on how would I do this work? So, you know.
Yeah, and they brought in a doctor to show Jason how he would actually suture somebody's forehead
exactly.
and stitch it up. And
wow.
yeah, so yeah, it's been really, it's been great.
Yeah.
Does he need to suture someone during the show? Man.
First,
or is it the audience?
Shh, you gave it away.
If you sit in the front row,
that's the climax of the play.
There's so
blood
much
everywhere. The other thing that's great about
I know. We've got sex, violence, politics, you got everything you could possibly want.
That is
right?
That's a good little teaser. Yeah. When
yeah.
When Jackson meets Valerie, there are sutures. We don't know why.
You have our TOP listeners in sutures right now. Oh, that's
terrible.
That was terrible. How much interaction have you had with Lydia? Like, has she actually been down here, or is it mostly pass it off to Seema?
Yeah, she's
yeah.
come to see it. You know,
Seema's been in dialogue. You were telling me
a lot, and I think for Lydia, this will be the first production where she's letting other people just take it and going. But so I think it'll be really great for her to come see the play when she hasn't been there through all the rehearsals, to see what other people how they've interpreted just her words on the page. But she and Seema have definitely been in dialogue for a while. Yeah.
Gotcha. Tell me a little bit about yourselves. I mean, I know we've run into each other in past things, but
yes.
Where did you grow up, sir?
So I grew up in a little town in suburban Westchester County, so suburban New York, okay. basically, about 45 minutes north, a small town called South Salem.
How'd you get into acting? High school or?
Yeah, I've been doing plays since I was little. And then I went to college just to go to college because I didn't know. No one pushed me in that way. Not that you need that. But I just went to school. And then as I was in college, I, you know, we're doing the plays more and more. And then I had a couple teachers there who were like, you know, this is, if this is something you take seriously, there's graduate school. And
right.
So I went on to graduate school at Rutgers, at Mason Gross. And I'd say that's when I started really taking it seriously in college and into grad school. So and I've been doing it that.
What are some other recent productions you've done? Have any around town that we might recognize
you know, this is
you
my
from?
First. This is my first time in D.C. since I was in the eighth grade for our big, you know, trip where we take the bus.
Whoa.
Do you guys all do that?
Of course.
I feel like everybody in this country does
just
that.
For, yeah, around here, they just have to bus as far.
Point taken, point taken.
Awesome.
Point
so you did the whole Smithsonian and the
yeah,
all that
yeah,
stuff.
Although all I remember is, I won't even tell you, because it was the first time, never mind. You get to stay, you know, and there's, you know. What girls are where and all that jazz.
Not
to say, you know, I was very excited to be in our nation's capital and go to all the museums in the eighth grade. It was all going at now.
clearly, you had your mind on all of our museums and monuments.
Exactly. Oh yeah.
But so, this is your first one.
First one. So I'm really excited to be down here and at Arena Stage.
Yeah. How are you liking Arena so far?
Awesome.
Yeah.
So awesome. I've always known about Arena Stage. I think it's just really fortunate that I was able to come down here.
How did that happen? How did you find out about it?
Yeah, so I auditioned in New York, actually. I basically just got an audition, and I'm the only character that came from, or person that's come.
I think you were the only character.
I know Lorene is from LA.
Yeah, because before that, I think everything had been cast before they went to New York, so they went to New York, it was only your part they were auditioning for.
So. So I got an audition, read the play, met Seema, auditioned for her a couple times, no pressure, and booked the role. So I was very excited. So I've done regional plays. I've worked in New York, did some film and TV, but this is my first time in the D.C. area, and I'm really excited.
Well, welcome to D.C.,
sir. Yeah.
Soojin, how about you? Where did you actually grow up? I don't know if I even know this.
I grew up in McLean, Virginia.
Oh, okay, local.
Yeah. So I grew up, and I always knew I wanted to be an actress, but I always knew that was one thing I wasn't allowed to do.
That made you want to do it even more.
Yeah, exactly. So I wasn't allowed to really delve into that interest until I went to college. And actually majored in psychology.
Oh.
So it's fun to play Jenny, who's a psychologist.
Nice. You know? Where'd you go to college?
I went to Vassar.
Oh, nice. Wait, and what high school in McLean? Where are you?
Langley High School.
Oh, okay. Our listeners probably
yes,
remember that.
Yes, I'm very local. And
all right, so you go to college.
Yes, I went to college, and then I was like, well, you know, I think I do like acting. I think I want to pursue professionally. And my dad was like, oh, that Vassar ruined you. You were so great until you went there. He brings Vassar for my turn.
My turn.
Yes, turns
that
the
liberal
dark
arts
side.
Education there.
Exactly. Yeah, so I did that, and I was, you know, and then I went to got my MFA from NYU and then pursued acting for a bit. And then I planned to quit, and that's why I moved back to the D.C. area. But I've kept my toes in.
Just kind
as
of
you
fell
know.
Back into it?
Yeah, you know, every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in.
Uh-huh. The one good thing in Godfather 3 right there, that line. Awesome.
May or may not be in this. No, I'm kidding. That's not
well,
at all.
You
it's
did
not
talk about
all.
The Bloody Sutures.
Yeah. Now I am back. I'm officially back. So as of last year, I'm officially back. I'm doing this now.
Like, oh, awesome. Yeah. What other things around town have our listeners maybe seen you in?
I was, I've been to Theater J a couple times, did Yellowface over there, I was at Wooly, I'm going to be at Wooly again next,
awesome.
Doing The Arsonists next. Gosh, I don't know, it's like I've been at Constellation Theater.
That's awesome.
This is I'm actually coming back to Arena. It's sort of exciting because the first time I worked at Arena was when Molly Smith first came. So
and
I did her very first show here that she did called Hot and Throbbing.
Really?
With Paula
that's
Vogel.
Cool. I didn't know
and
that.
Now here I am doing the very first play that Seema is directing here as associate artistic director.
I think there's a
there's,
theme
right?
here.
Right? Exactly. Sujin. Exactly. So I sort of like help ease people.
Yep, and that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. DC theater scene.
Every milestone in Arena, they just bring you back.
They bring you back. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was talking with Seema. I said, you know, I think Arena, they started building the new space at Arena around the time that Obama was inaugurated.
Oh, probably.
Yes, because they actually were raising the money during the whole financial crisis and broke ground during the financial crisis. Talk about a leap of faith.
That must have been fun.
Yeah.
Raising money during the recession.
Exactly. But they did that, and so it's really interesting. I'm really excited that they're doing this play right now. I think awesome. The DC audience is really going to like it a lot.
Speaking of that, doing it right now, I mean, because we talked about when it was, you know, it was created during that administration, but talk about doing it now, where we are now in this divided, you know, post-election period. Why do you, if our audience has come, I mean, why do you think it's going to be so relevant? I mean,
I just know that since, I felt like with both Obama and Trump, nobody expected either one to win. Mm. And the country seemed to take both those elections as a litmus test of where we were as a country.
And there's people out there that voted for both of them.
Yes.
That's the thing that makes us a lot look in the mirror and be like, how did this happen? Where are we exactly?
Exactly. Yeah. And some people want to say, look at it. It's a litmus test about where we are on race. And other people are like, what are you talking about? Race has nothing to do with this. Why are you bringing race into the conversation?
Right.
It's really, and I think what's great about these four characters that Lydia's written is they're four very smart people, but they all have four very different points of views. And they're completely justified in their points of views. And so you'll have smart people debating, and yet they still don't agree, and there's still miscommunication. And it just highlights how difficult it is to talk about race and how frightening it can be.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's really great, because right now I think a lot of people are afraid to have frank discussions because they're afraid of getting people upset.
Right.
And so what I love about theater is it provides a safe space for us to have these discussions on stage, and then hopefully allow a space for people to feel safe enough to continue the discussion after the show is over.
Right. Yeah. So if we have listeners of no matter what political stripes, they should come see it because it's a safe space to kick around these ideas.
It's all about the conversation. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
I think.
And all four of them, I mean, they don't all agree. They disagree vehemently with one another, and they all have really good points.
Awesome. I'm excited to see it.
Yay! Let me know when you come. We have to catch up.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Full disclosure. Yes. I worked with Sujin on something back in grad school. And so it's so awesome to see you again.
I know. It's so awesome.
Have you kept in touch with Claudia Myers? She directed this web series.
I had dinner with her just last week. Yeah. So, yeah.
Was she the one at Station 4?
Yes, she was.
I saw them
connection
there.
Yes.
So I feel like I'm a part of it.
Well, it's because you guys do everything outside of work together now. The whole cast.
We do. We get together every Friday as a cast and meet at Jason's house and play Werewolf and Mafia.
It gets I don't want to talk about it. It gets pretty competitive. And Sujin was pretty critical of the fact that I can't lie very well.
He's a terrible
liar.
That's why he's such a good actor.
Yeah, thank you.
Because he finds
the
truth in everything. He can't lie.
That's fine. Listeners, I'm a great liar. No, I'm not.
No, he's not. He's terrible.
Are you hearing this banter here? I can just wind him up and let him go. That's how close they've gotten during this show. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks so much for coming in. Again, it's April 14th through May 21st. Smart People at Arena Stage. Come check it out. You'll laugh. You'll cry. You might get blood spray. No, just kidding. No, it'll be great. And we'll all learn about where we are as a country, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the main point. All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.